From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The Washington Post has reported that immigrant minors are being held in detention longer than is legally allowed. And the Southern Poverty Law Center, together with the ACLU of Louisiana, have launched a lawsuit over the prolonged detention of hundreds of asylum seekers. As the Trump administration continues to ramp up its attacks on migrants in custody, we take a look today at a new series of investigative reports that shines a light on the horrific cruelty that pregnant women minors in particular are facing under the Trump administration. Immigration reporter Tina Vasquez of Rewire.news has found that some women in the custody of the U.S. Marshals Service are shackled while giving birth and even separated from their newborns. Pregnant women are also being criminalized just for seeking asylum. Tina Vasquez previously was a freelance writer and editor with almost 10 years of experience focusing on intersectional feminism, racial justice, and immigration. She is a former associate editor at Black Girl Dangerous. She's contributed to The Guardian, Truth Out, Jezebel, Bitch Magazine, and Al Jazeera. Welcome to the program, Tina.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So this particular series of reports that you did for Rewire.news, three of them so far, focus, I understand, on the medical conditions or the medical treatment that pregnant women receive when they're in the custody of a very specific federal agency. So we've all heard about Border Patrol and ICE, but we don't hear very much about the oldest U.S. federal agency that you write about, the U.S. Marshals Service. Why, first of all, is this Marshals Service even in charge of immigrants? And is this a new thing to the Trump administration?
What's really interesting is that when I began this reporting, I didn't know that I was writing about U.S. Marshals. We speak to a doctor in the piece. She's featured in all three pieces. Her name is Dr. Shelley, and she's an OBGYN in the Western District of Texas. And when I first connected with her, the agency that she was naming in terms of shackling, in terms of providing negligent prenatal and postpartum care, even in terms of shackling while women are giving birth, she kept referring to it as ICE. And so I thought I was investigating ICE. But as I started to delve deeper into it and ask more questions and sort of trying to cross-reference different stories, it became very clear, especially thanks to the source in the piece, Taylor Levy, who works at Annunciation House, that the agency that we were talking about was U.S. Marshals Service. So they're a federal law enforcement agency, and their role in all of this, they have a very large role in Texas in particular for carrying out the zero tolerance policy, which is that they help detain asylum seekers and other migrants being prosecuted under zero tolerance. They're responsible for transporting them. They don't run any of their own prisons and detention centers. Rather, they contract with different facilities to detain immigrants under zero tolerance.
So are they effectively doing the similar type of work that Border Patrol is, or does Border Patrol turn people over to them?
So the way that it's working under zero tolerance is that Border Patrol and Customs and Border Protection apprehends migrants in the borderlands. They then get transferred to Marshall. They once they're being prosecuted by the Department of Justice, they are transferred to the custody of U.S. Marshals. U.S. Marshals oversees their imprisonment, essentially, and their transportation to court hearings and that kind of thing. So they're in their custody, but they're not in U.S. Marshals' facilities, which is what makes this more complicated, because it's a lot of agencies working together in very complicated ways. And it depends on where you are in the country, how this plays out, whether or not you are prosecuted, whether or not you come through a port of entry or don't. So you could be within, you know, in Texas, I spoke to women who were in three different or four different agencies' custody over the span of just a few days.
And of course, when you have critical or urgent health needs, such as being heavily pregnant and ready to give birth, and you're being passed around from one agency to another, those healthcare needs, I imagine, fall through the cracks.
Yes, that's one of the biggest problems. And that's, you know, even the doctor that I spoke to is what she was trying to sort out. Is this an issue of U.S. Marshals simply not caring and not bringing pregnant people in when they need to access care? Or is there some sort of lag because U.S. Marshals has to wait until there is permission granted to bring pregnant people in for prenatal care. So it could be either of those things, or it could be both of those things. But we know is that there are huge lapses in care that are really, really harming pregnant asylum seekers in Marshall's custody.
So let's specifically talk about what you found from Dr. Shelley, which I understand this is a pseudonym. She's an anonymous source in one specific facility that the U.S. Marshals Service has contracted to.
Yes. So Dr. Shelley told me that women are being shackled when they're accessing prenatal care, which is very harmful. They could fall at any time. It can cause very serious problems with their pregnancies. And they're shackled sometimes during giving birth. She has stopped it numerous times, but there are other doctors who maybe don't feel comfortable doing that or who don't know that they can stop shackling while it's in process.
So a pregnant woman giving birth to a baby has what, her wrists or ankles shackled to the bed she's laying on?
Yes, yes. And when she's accessing prenatal care, that could mean, it often means shackling around the belly, shackling at the wrist, and sometimes shackling at the feet. And you can, it's very clear how that is especially a problem with a pregnant person. And so, I mean, it increases the risk of falling. It could do harm to the fetus. There are lots of problems with it. And then it's always happening, it seems, after a person gives birth. So during postpartum care, they're being shackled certainly across the board.
So is the shackling during childbirth a standard, a practice that is only stopped if the doctor decides to demand that the shackles be removed? It's sort of across the board a default procedure?
I mean, so what Marshall's told me is that it only happens during extraordinary circumstances. But what Dr. Shelley told me is that they attempt it pretty regularly. And unless the doctor steps in and says, you can't do this, this is harmful, this endangers the health and well-being of the person giving birth, unless the doctor does that, then there's nothing to stop U.S. Marshals from shackling pregnant asylum seekers.
What about after birth? Aside from the condition of being shackled during postpartum care, you also write about how infants, newborns are being separated from their mothers.
So what happens is, and what I learned actually about ICE is that where I'm writing about, so I'm writing about instances in the Western District of Texas and instances in El Paso. So ICE in that area is actually pretty good about, once a pregnant person is in their care, their custody, they release them. That's not happening with Marshals for a couple of reasons. Marshals doesn't have the same kind of discretion that ICE does, so Marshals can't simply choose to release a person. And so what happens is after a person gives birth in U.S. Marshals custody, they're allowed to remain at the hospital for 48 or 72 hours. And if they do not have a family member in the United States with legal status who can or who is willing to take their baby, then the child gets funneled into child welfare agencies. In Texas, that's Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. And then the woman goes back to U.S. Marshals custody. And to my understanding, and based on what I've learned in reporting, there is no one really keeping her in the loop about where her newborn goes, how she can stay in communication with her newborn, what happens when she's released. And so what seems to be happening a lot is, after she gives birth, then if it's decided that this woman is to be released, Marshals can't release her. They have to transfer her to ICE custody. And so then ICE can release her. So that's a 2 or 3 day window after she gives birth between then and being released. And so if she can find her way to an advocacy organization who can sort of steer her in the direction of her newborn, then those reunifications can happen that way. But we do not know what happens to women who are released from custody, who are given no guidance, you know, who often don't speak English, like whether or not they ever find their newborns, we don't know.
Why are newborns being separated in the first place? You're saying that just because a woman might land up in the custody of U.S. Marshals as opposed to ICE, she remains in custody. And then after she's given birth, her baby can't remain with her and the baby is handed off either to a legal resident relative or enters the child welfare system and maybe what, fostered and adopted by some other family. I mean, that is beyond cruel.
It is. And the sort of determining factor is What's important to note is that these are women that are being prosecuted under the Trump administration's zero tolerance policy. So I think a lot of people thought that once the administration purported to end the family separation policy, that was the end of zero tolerance, and it isn't. So essentially, if you attempt to enter the United States without authorization, CBP can choose to prosecute you. And for whatever reason, they are choosing to prosecute pregnant migrants.
And when you say choosing to, is it disproportionately choosing to prosecute them?
It's hard to say. I mean, I filed a number of FOIAs. We don't know why. It seems very, it's sort of up to happenstance. They choose to prosecute some people and not others. But there have been multiple instances that we can verify where they've chosen to prosecute pregnant migrants. And so once that process begins, you're a criminal in the eyes of the United States. So that's why you are in Marshall's custody instead of ICE custody, because wow. Now you've received this charge. And so that's kind of why you are separated from your baby, because Marshall's doesn't allow women to have their children in their facilities, in the facilities that they oversee.
So what did you learn from Dr. Shelley about how many instances she has witnessed and the conditions under which she has seen newborns ripped away from their mothers and their mothers losing track of them?
I mean, so Dr. Shelley said that this was akin to torture, that she has had women in her care that seemed suicidal, that she was afraid to release them from custody because she was afraid that they were going to harm themselves.
And then this their babies also were taken away from them, which most natural response that somebody who's just had a baby would have. If their child was taken away from them, you would literally want, you would go mad.
And Marshall's does seem particularly cruel. In one instance that we report on, there was a woman who was afraid, Dr. Shelley was afraid she was going to harm herself. And so she asked that the woman stay at the hospital for 5 more days or for 5 days total instead of the customary couple of days. And in that time, they were somehow able to track down a very distant relative who could take her newborn because it was going to be taken from her and placed into Texas care. And so U.S. Marshals wouldn't allow her to meet the relative that was going to take her baby. They don't allow guests. And so she couldn't meet the woman who was in the other room that was about to take over the care of her newborn baby. And so a nurse ran back and forth between the patient, the migrant in custody, and the woman who was going to take her baby and took photos of them and showed them and said, like, this is the person that's going to take your baby. They tried to help her memorize the name of the hospital and other details so that if anything happened, if she were deported, if she couldn't get her baby back, she understood that there were records and that she was the parent and that there was a legal way to prove that she was the mother.
I'm assuming that your source, Dr. Shelley, is speaking to you about what she's witnessing because it is horrifying her.
Yes. I've been in touch with other doctors now since this reporting was published who are seeing equally troubling things. And it seems that some doctors don't understand how to push back because they feel intimidated by federal agencies in their hospitals. Dr. Shelley described a couple of contentious interactions with marshals where it's almost like an argument that happens if you ask that they don't shackle patients. People seem very afraid to push back. Healthcare providers don't seem to understand the amount of power that they have in that situation where the migrant is essentially powerless. It doesn't matter if they say they don't want to be shackled. It doesn't matter if it's dangerous to shackle them. Marshals is going to shackle them. And so the only person that can stop that in that situation is the healthcare provider. And it seems that sometimes healthcare providers aren't doing that.
This story seems ripe for some form of legal action. What so far has been the response, both from U.S. Marshals, I understand you got some comments from them, and from advocates who may not have been aware of what was going on?
I actually haven't heard from U.S. Marshals. I don't know how they could defend against this. I was in touch with them for the entirety of this reporting. Lots of fact-checking questions, lots of going back and forth and confirming information.
They knew you were investigating this.
Yes, yes. And they now have a number of FOIAs from me as well.
Freedom of Information Act request. So you're trying to find out more from them about what sets their policy.
Yes, I'm hoping to find very specific information about the number of women that this has happened to, the number of pregnant women that marshals have in their custody. Those are numbers that they are very forthcoming with. And they actually outright told me, you're going to have to submit a FOIA for this. And so I did. I hope that there's legal action. I know that an immigration attorney in Texas who does pro bono asylum work reached out to me, asked me to connect him with Dr. Shelley and other advocates in the area who are working with these women, because it seemed that he did believe that there's definitely a space for a lawsuit here.
And tell us about the person that you spoke with at Annunciation House, which I understand is a certified shelter in the Texas area.
Yes. So Taylor Levy is a legal advocate there, and I can't say enough about how crucial of a source she was. A lot of people reach out to me, but they don't want to be forthcoming about any identifying information or where they work or anything like that. And Taylor Levy just kind of laid it all out and confirmed a lot of information for me. He told me that she is personally, that was the other thing that came up, is that initially Texas DFPS told me that this wasn't happening, that they had no place in this, that they had no records to confirm that they were taking newborns from migrants. But I kept pushing based on information that Taylor Levy told me, which is that I have personally helped women get their newborns back from this agency. I know that it's happening. And while they never outright confirmed, they certainly backpedaled and told me that this is the legal process for how this happens when it does happen. But I don't have any numbers about how many times this has happened in the state of Texas.
The story that you're talking about, of course, comes within a broader context of the Trump administration wanting to continue detention of immigrants. There's, I mentioned, a lawsuit in Louisiana around a prolonged detention of legitimate asylum seekers. Minors are being held in Border Patrol facilities for longer than the, you know, maximum 72 hours that they're required. They're not allowed to be kept in prison for longer than that in these prison-like conditions. And we've, of course, also heard of the disturbing stories of a number of children that have died in U.S. custody, in Border Patrol custody, et cetera. As far as you know, why, or can you explain why this particular story of what the U.S. Marshals Service is doing has escaped scrutiny and gone under the radar?
I've been thinking a lot about this, and my only assumption is that in all the reporting that's happening on immigration, marshals are referenced regularly. Sometimes if you it'll be a brief mention, right? Hmm. So a lot of reporters who are doing reporting about immigration right now at the border, my only assumption is that they just became accustomed to seeing marshals everywhere. And when something like this is ubiquitous, you don't think to delve because it just seems so commonplace. And at Rewire.news, I specifically try to focus on vulnerable populations that are affected by the immigration system. And so when I learned that shackling was happening, I mean, that's how this story happened. It started with the story about shackling that I thought was happening in ICE custody. But when I realized it was marshals, I realized that I haven't read a piece that just kind of outlined the marshals' role in what's happening in Texas and its role in carrying out zero tolerance. It's been kind of doing it under the radar. And once we started peeling back, what we found was really unbelievable. And I hope that it leads to more reporting on the role of the U.S. Marshals and what's been happening to people in their custody.
As far as you know, have the women involved, the pregnant women involved and or their babies suffered any physical harm? I mean, we've, of course, heard not just about the deaths, but very severe abuse in other facilities. We've heard of sexual abuse in other facilities. Have you come across any stories that have left a sort of lasting injury or even caused any deaths?
So I was able to confirm that this was happening with women who didn't want to go on the record at all, who did not want to share any information about what had happened to them. But I can tell you that the trauma is unreal. And just because they're released doesn't mean that they're safe, you know? Mm-hmm. So a lot of one of the women that we referenced in our reporting had a very troublesome experience in Marshall's custody, especially with her postpartum care. She was denied medication that she really needed. She went into birth. She went into labor early. She had a lot of pregnancy complications. And she gave birth prematurely, which is another thing that I'm seeing a lot with women that I speak to. A lot of complicated pregnancies and a lot of giving birth prematurely, whether that's directed to the, there's a correlation between that and the care that they receive. I can't say for sure, but I know that this has been really, really traumatic for women. And just because they get released, it does not mean that they're safe in the United States. That's just kind of step one in their asylum case. They could still be deported, and then they have to decide, do, you know, because that's the other thing, is that their baby is an American citizen. It was born in the United States. So if they're deported, do they take their baby with them? Do they leave their baby behind? For women who aren't reunited with their babies after being released from custody, what happens to those children? Do they get adopted? I mean, some of the things that we looked into with this reporting is whether or not courts are questioning the paternal rights of migrants, and that could certainly be happening, and we wouldn't know.
So let's also specifically talk about what it is that the U.S. Marshals say that they do, the official line. I mean, they have some rules in place and even public statements about the kinds of healthcare that they're allowed to provide or the standards they're allowed to provide, and even just really what their jurisdiction is. Because, you know, ICE has a clear mandate, Border Patrol has a clear mandate, federal, you know, other federal officers, which these are, generally have a specific mandate. I mean, these are neither Border Patrol nor ICE. They're not Coast Guard. What exactly does U.S. Marshals say they do?
So they help carry out federal policy, which is the zero tolerance policy. It falls under that, which is why they actually have a very large role in how this has been playing out with immigration in particular, which is another surprising reason.
I mean, there's only a few thousand of them, right? There's only, yes, what, 4,000, I think you say, yes, in your piece, 4,000 U.S. Marshals, mm-hmm, in the entire country?
Yes. And they do sort of oversee a large nationwide network of people in custody. And it's terribly complicated. And I know that there's a lot of unraveling to do still. I know that another reporter contacted me recently. He's trying to sort out where they have jurisdiction, like basically what is the nationwide network of facilities that they oversee. It's prisons, it's jails, it's detention centers. They contract with all of them, and they get to sort of dictate care. And so migrants in custody or people who are imprisoned under the marshals, it could be argued that they could be receiving the most negligent health care, because then you have the really horrible standards that are already happening in prisons. And then on top of that, they're subjected to the really negligent healthcare standards that Marshalls sort of follows.
And so you have about 4,000 Marshalls total, and not clear if all of them are doing any immigration enforcement, but the number of immigrants that they are sort of on average in charge of is on the order of about 20,000?
Yes, yes. And those are the number that's the latest number that we have for the number of migrants that they currently have in custody.
I imagine there would need to be some sort of congressional oversight over these kinds of confusing and vague, and now we know very dangerous treatment and the role that the U.S. Marshals Service is playing on this, right? Because if we look back on the family separations issue and see how haphazardly it was carried out, sort of purposeful negligence, if you will, that attitude, I imagine, carries over in all aspects regarding the current immigration system under this current administration, under President Trump, who are sort of pushing the limit of every law they can and operating, it seems, with impunity and without the requisite oversight. Would you hope that from your investigative report, you have some sort of not just lawsuit, as we were mentioning earlier, but even congressional oversight? I mean, there should be hearings into what's happening.
I certainly hope so, because there was only so much that we could confirm through our reporting, and we're still digging and we're still hoping to speak to other people that this has impacted, other healthcare providers who are seeing this play out in their hospitals. But I'm really concerned about what we don't know. I'm really concerned about how long this has been going on. And I'm especially concerned for the number of women who may never see their newborns again.
Wow. So what is your next step after this? You said you'd submitted a number of FOIA requests and you're waiting to hear back from that for some follow-up pieces on this story?
Yes, I'm hoping to learn more about specifically the population of pregnant women that have been in Marshall's custody, the number of women who've given birth in Marshall's custody, the outcome of that, whether those women were able to reunite with their children. And I'm also speaking to healthcare providers who are having to navigate their own really uncomfortable, horrible interactions with federal immigration agencies at their hospitals.
I imagine that there's some trauma amongst them as well, and they could stand to have some legal advice, and the hospitals that they work in, I imagine, ought to obtain some sort of legal counsel as to how they can interact with U.S. Marshals Service. But it seems like we're operating in some sort of Wild West these days. Tina, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Rewired.news is the best place for people to find your writings, right?
Yes, yes. And thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. We'll post a link to your pieces from our website as well. Thanks so much, Tina.
Thank you.
Tina Vasquez is the immigration reporter at Rewire.news. We've been discussing her series of investigative pieces on the treatment of pregnant migrants in custody of the U.S. Marshals Service. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingup at sonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.